Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here today. As we gather around the Word of God, we're going to be turning to the first chapter of the book of Haggai in the Old Testament. It's a short book, only two chapters in there. It's like, wow, what can we get from this today? What can we get from this that we can devotionally apply to us today? Some of the context of Haggai is that it was prophesied by the prophet Haggai to the remnant of the nation of Israel, those that survived the captivity. It's after the captivity. They were released from the Babylonians. They were back home in Jerusalem. So there wasn't very many of them left. A lot of them got killed and died, and maybe stayed scattered too, but so they're back in Israel after the captivity. So that would have been, you know, after the fall of the kingdom of David and Saul and all them, the temple was destroyed. And so they spent 70 years, the tribe Judah spent 70 years in captivity. And Israel, they spent a lot longer than that, but Judah had been in captivity 7 years and they released. Now they're back in Israel. And here we are, the prophet Haggai kind of prophesying to them about what's going on. I think they were just doing their normal life, it sounds like, as we read this. You know, they're out of captivity, they're back home, they're trying to get their lives going in order. Then Haggai comes along and says these words. And so this is what he says. I'm going to read the whole chapter of chapter 1, and then we'll get into it. 15 verses here. So Haggai chapter 1 says, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build a house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, upon cattle, upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king." Let's pray real quick. Lord, I just thank you for this passage, Lord, that you give to Haggai so many years back, Lord, that we see you're proclaiming to the nation of Israel, hey, need to get busy building our house, building my house, Lord. So, Lord, today, pray that we could see clearly what you'd have for us today, Lord, that what it means for us today is we can take your words, we can hear your words, we can apply them to our life, Lord. We just thank you and praise you now. We go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep in mind, Prophet Haggai, who was he talking to here? He was talking to the remnant of God's people. The remnant of God's people. They were back home, and they were God's people. So that's a key thing to remember in that, is in the Bible, most often, way more often than not, God is talking to God's people. He's not talking to the lost world. He's not talking to the unsaved. He's talking to God's people. So, let's take it in that context. What's he talking to us today as a people of God that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He's talking to the body of Christ believers that believe by faith alone, grace alone. Grace through faith alone, Ephesians 2:8-9. You've accepted the Lord, you're God's people. That's who he's talking to back then. Today we're going to devotionally see how he's talking to us now. Before we get into digging in, I want to go to what Paul wrote to us in 2 Corinthians 5:15. Paul Corinthians talking to God's people here. And what's he say here? 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. If Jesus has died for you, you've accepted him as your Savior, it's time to stop living for yourself and to live for him. We need to consider our ways, as Haggai says a couple times in chapter 1 here of Haggai. Consider our ways. Who are we living for today? We need to stop living to ourselves, but live unto him. Another key point right here in 1 Corinthians 6 to remember. Remember we're talking about Haggai, he's talking about building this building. Today, what is God's building today? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What is God's building today? Here's the answer to us. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. What's the building that we're supposed to be building today? It's us. We are the temple of God. If you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is inside of you, permanently sealed to the day of redemption, and we need to be building on it. Foundation is the Lord Jesus laid. The foundation laid, and we accept it. The Lord Jesus is our foundation, and what are we building on it? So that's a key thing to remember as we dig into this passage here, back to Haggai. So, two points that I saw I want to talk about today is from Haggai 1 is, are we living unto the flesh or are we living unto the Father? It's our choice. We need to consider our ways in that. Let's look at starting in verse 2 as I read in Haggai chapter 1. Look at verse 2, it says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time this Lord's house should be built. What are the people saying? Oh, the time has not come. Let's put it off. I can do that tomorrow. I can start that tomorrow. I got plenty of time. We all know how much time, you know. We got plenty of time to build a house. That's what we say today too. We accept the Lord, all his grace and mercy he gives us, and like, wow, I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm new. I got plenty of time. Yeah. Ask our loved ones that have passed away, you know. We've all lost loved ones. They didn't know, you know. They thought they were going to live a few more, but lost them early too, you know. So none of us know the amount of time we've got, so it's that procrastination side. If you're living under the flesh, you like to put things off. And we're all guilty of that, myself, big time. Procrastinate, put off what God would have us to do. So that is the reality of it. If you're living under the flesh, procrastination is a key. And as these folks here were doing, that Haggai was talking to. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and see a good point here on being a procrastinator, i.e. being slothful. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Verse Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 18 says this: by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. We all know it. You buy a brand new car, you drive off the lot, the day you drive it off, it drops several thousand dollars in value, and it starts to decay. You know, first before you know it, you got a door ding, you got a gravel dent, you got, you know, bird doo-doo on it, stained it, whatever, you know, broken windows, something, stuff happens, but things go down. The natural state of anything that is good goes down. Start with your house. This verse is about a house. Build a brand new house. We can ask Arnold about that. You build a brand new house, there's always going to be something that goes wrong. He's like, this is brand new. Why is this going wrong? It shouldn't be like that. Well, things go down. They start really good. We do the best we can. Especially, you know, the home builders, they do the best they can usually, but things go down. So, slothfulness, being putting it off, not caring, you know. It says, and through the idleness of hands, the house droppeth through. It's going to fall apart. If you get a leak in your house and you don't fix it, it ain't long and it's going down. Water gets in and bad things are happening, you know. Got to have a good roof. You got to have that good foundation of the Lord Jesus and keep the water out of it. So when things are going wrong, what should we do? Fix them, you know, and building. So it's a key thing. Don't put it off. Don't be thoughtful in what needs to be done. When you see something needs to be done, just do it. And so we see when God tells us something to do in the Word, if you believe it, do it. That's your true sign of belief, if you're doing what you're reading. Do you believe it? Well, then we need to do it as the commands that God has given us. So another key thing, an example of procrastinating, we could see from Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. In Haggai, the Lord said, hey, consider your ways. Well, in Proverbs chapter 6, we need to consider the ways of an ant here. Verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Here's the ant. No guide, overseer, ruler, doing what needs to be done to get it done. You know, you think about it, that's a lot of situations we're in. God gives us all free will. We do have a guide inside of us, the Holy Spirit inside us. They were saved. He's inside us. He wants to guide us. But God is not batting us over the head saying, hey, child, do this, do that. You have to do this or that. We have free will, and thank God for that. We all have free will. You know, it's one of the blessings of this country. It's founded on that principle. It's a free country. We have liberty to do what God shows us to do, wants us to do. We also have free will to do the bad stuff, don't we? So it's our free will right here. So we need to go to the ant and consider her ways, providing everything that's needed for that bad time to come, that winter time. Look what he calls, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Don't procrastinate. Don't be a sluggard. Don't be thoughtful. That is the key of living in the flesh. If we're living in the flesh, that's what our MO is. That's what we want to do. Don't do that. So, back to Haggai. We see, we're going to jump to verse 6 to see what else it is to live into the flesh. We put the priority on the physical things. Look what he says in verse 6. Ye have so much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Sounds like that's what you're doing stuff to survive. That's what we all do. Daily life, getting caught up and feeding their family, clothing their family, earning wages so we pay the bills, you know. And God's saying, well, what about me? They put the focus on that, and they were forgetting about God, weren't they? They weren't wanting to build his house. Here's Haggai coming along, saying, calling them out. Verse 5 said, hey, consider your ways here. You need to consider your ways. In other words, hey, wake up. This is not right. You know, none of this is bad stuff. This is what we're all supposed to be doing, but what about God? What's happened here? Well, later on you see why it's going on. So let's look at this in considering our ways. At least the nation of Israel had, they had that focus on the physical things. For us, we have that same focus. We're physical folks, physical people. It takes physical things to live in this world. So all this comes real natural, doesn't it? That's what we're supposed to do, you know. You can't find in the Bible like, hey, you should do this and only this and focus on that, just like we, as our flesh, we want to do. But guess what? You can find lots of warnings against doing that, against becoming just making the world and the stuff in this world your most important thing. And let's look at a few of those. So don't put the priority on the physical. Let's see what God says about that. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Priority on the physical. What's God say about it? 1 John 2, 15 and 16. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. There is a pretty significant warning about things in the world. You know, all the things that Haggai was talking about. If you love that more than you love God, we got problems. You're living unto the flesh. Don't do it. This is verse 16 here. We see the three ways that we get hit. You know, we get lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the three ways that Satan tempted Jesus to when he tempted him after he had fasted. Each time, each and every time when Satan tempted Jesus, what did Jesus do? He quoted, it is the word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Each time he quoted that, and that's what we need to do. Jesus had his priorities straight, didn't he? He was not living under the flesh. He was living under the Father. So, let's don't love the world above God. Colossians 3, another example. Colossians 3, for doctrine given to us from Paul here. Colossians 3, what does it say? Colossians 3, starting in verse 1. About the priority of the physical thing. What does he say in Colossians 3, verse 1? It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. What was Haggai talking about? What you're eating, what you're drinking, your wages, things of the earth. Don't set your affection on those things. Set your affection on things above. Our priority should not be on these physical things. And the final example of this is Romans 13, 14. The final example I'm going to share, there are many more examples, but Romans 13 and 14. Warnings against putting the priority on the physical. It says, but, Romans 13, 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Those lusts that John was referencing, what do we need to do? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make any provisions for the flesh. Don't be thinking about ways that you can provide for your fleshly lust. So, consider your ways. is my priority on the physical? Well, if it is, I'm living unto the flesh, not unto the Father. Let's turn back to Haggai. We'll see those two in the case. In the reality of living in the flesh is we're going to be procrastinating and we're going to be putting the priority on the physical things. And the results of doing that are found. And we'll skip down to Haggai chapter 1. We'll start in verse 9. Look at verse 9. What are the results of that? What God's telling me here in verse 9. It says, "You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is in waste, and ye run every man to his own house." You put your priority on the flesh, not on me, is what God's saying. Verse 10, "Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, upon all the labor of the hand." God saw the Israelites like, they're living unto themselves, living in the flesh. They don't care about me. My house lies waste. So this is what I'm going to do, is what God says. Remember, how did God deal with the nation of Israel? Corporately. They were as a whole. And so he said, "Okay, nation of Israel, you're going to do that? This is what I'm going to do to wake you up." Now, does he deal with us that way today? No, we're as individuals in the body of Christ. The body of Christ made up of individuals. So he wants us to fulfill his will individually through the body of Christ, but he's dealing with all us all as individuals. That's how we're going devotionally here. It's like, hey, what's this mean to me, building a house? Well, our house is our body that God saved. Now, what are we doing to build it? So we see that God brought down, he gave them drought and he gave them famine. What's that mean to us? Is he going to do that to us? Because we're not dealt with as corporately like he was the nation of Israel. But can we have drought and famine in our life? Yeah, it's spiritual. Because God deals with us spiritually. We have spiritual drought, spiritual famine. And to show that, let's start with the lack of rain, lack of dew, lack of water. Let's see what water is. Isaiah 55. Starting in verse 10, Isaiah 55. What is water here? It says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." The word of God is the water that God provides for us. And if we're into our flesh, we're not into the Word of God. We're in a drought. We're in a spiritual drought. Another example seeing this drought and famine is Amos. Old Testament Amos here, on back to the right here. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, right after Joel. Just like the nation of Israel, God gave them this drought and this famine. What does Amos here say about a famine? Chapter 8, verse 11 of Amos. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." What's the famine? Seeking, hearing the words of the Lord. Seeking, hearing the words of the Lord. That's the famine. That's the spiritual famine that Amos is talking about. That's the same famine we had today. Hearing the words of the Lord. because we have free choice, don't we? God's not making us get into the Word. He's not making us do anything, but He's giving it all for us here. He's giving us right here for us. We have the full revelation, the full completion of the Word of God right here for us. But our choice, a lot of times, we create our own famine, don't we? Famine from hearing the words of the Lord. You hear that verse, it's like, what does that take you right to? Hearing the words of the Lord. That takes you right to Romans 10:17. And it's often for us from Paul, Romans 10:17. Famine of hearing the words of the Lord, what's that lead to? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're not hearing the word of God, you have a famine of faith going on, don't we? Live under the flesh, your faith is not growing. It's not going anywhere. You're under yourself. It's a famine. So I'm not hearing the word. And then that takes us right to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Talk about our vision verse for this year is 2 Timothy 4:2. So we'll read that. We'll read. Looking at 3 and 4, but our vision verse for this year is preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, recruit, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And here's the famine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap for themselves teachers having itch ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Famine of hearing the word of God. You hear what you want to hear. Churches, pastors preach what the folks want to hear so they can tickle their ears. It doesn't convict them. It doesn't talk to them about, hey, you need to be building a house. You need to get off your flesh. You need to be living unto God. Oh, no. This is what comes when you have a famine of hearing the words. You get your ears tickled. So, consider our ways. Consider your ways. Am I living in the flesh or not? Let's turn back to Haggai. Haggai. We're going to consider the next thing. In verse 7 here, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And God's saying, hey, you might consider this. This is what you really need to be. In this verse 5, you know, verse 6, this is what you're doing. In verse 7, this is what you really need to be doing, starting in 8. What's he saying in 8? He says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. The reality of living unto the Father, living unto God, starts right here. Now, this is pretty cool. We need to build a house. And how do we do that? Step 1, go up to the mountain. How do we do that today? How do we go up to the mountain today? We're in Kansas. We don't have any mountains. Well, it's spiritual. It's always spiritual, right? When you think of what it means in this context to go up to the mountain, we think of where did Moses get the Ten Commandments? He went up to the mountain, right? He went up to the mountain and met God. God gave him the Ten Commandments. He gave him the Word of God at that mountain. I want to specifically show this go up to the mountain, what it means. I saw this. Like, this is neat. Matthew 17:1. Let's turn there. Go up to the mountain. This is Jesus taking his folks up to the mountain. Matthew 17:1. What's it say here? Matthew 17:1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Of course, this is the Mount of Transfiguration. He goes up, and God talks to him personally, you know. But the key thing is up into a high mountain apart. Think about that spiritually. What's that mean? It's like, go wherever your place is, get alone with God, you know. Get apart with God so you can focus on his word. A high mountain apart. Get with God. Haggai says, go up to the mountain. Well, go to your place where you can get some privacy and just focus on the Word of God. Go up to that mountain. That's what we need to do. And once we get there, what should we think of? What's some things we should be thinking of once we get there? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. We go to the height. Go to the mountain, be alone with God. 2 Corinthians 10. Starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What's it say there? Casting down imaginations and every high thing. Well, guess what? Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, against the Word of God. Satan has high places. He has those places that he set up for us, like, hey, I want to go to that high place. I want to go to that mountain. That's where I want to go. Well, you look in the Old Testament, you look up, study high places, they are not a good thing. Starting with the Tower of Babel. What happened there? You know, God destroyed that, dispersed the whole world, dispersed them everywhere. High places are not of God most time, except for when we're going to the mountain to be with God. See that? See that distinction? God has his high place, so does Satan. So make sure when we go to this high place, what are we doing? We're not walking into the flesh. We're casting down our imagination. We're bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, cast down that imagination. Go up to be with God. Let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, another example. Going to be with God. Ephesians 4. We start in verse 17. Here's the choice again. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Cast down that imagination. Cast down our mind. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That bad stuff Satan wants us in. In verse 20 we have, but ye have not so learned Christ. If you spent time with him, you're not so learned it. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Go be with God. Put on the new man. Renew the spirit of your mind. Cast down that old stuff. Those imaginations, those old lusts, get rid of them. That is cool to think of. Live under the Father, go up to the mountain, be with God. Now, what did Haggai say right there? We're staying here in Ephesians. We're going to camp out here in Ephesians a little bit. But what did Haggai say? He said, bring wood. And also he said, go up to the mountain, bring wood. Go up to the mountain, bring wood. What does that imply devotionally for us? So you think of this. God's telling them, go up to the mountain, bring wood. That wood just get cut and get stacked on its own? They got to bring it up to build the temple of God, the house of God for them? No, that didn't happen. So bring wood implies that we have to do some work today. We need to make preparations. Ephesians 6 tells us, what are those preparations? We kind of touched on them already. We're putting on the new man. Ephesians 6, you got to put on the whole armor. Verse 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's the high places again. That spiritual wickedness. Bring some wood. Hey, put on the whole armor. We know there's seven pieces of that armor is listed here in this passage. Let's put on all of it. They all revolve around the Word of God. Let's put on the whole armor of God. Bring some wood. We go meet him. Then Haggai, he said, after go up the mountain, bring some wood, he said, build the house. So go up the mountain and brought some wood. Now it's time to build the house. That should be our eternal goal. We are the house of God, right? We are the temple of God. We are to be holy through his word. Well, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? What do you hear today? A lot of churches, hey, you're saved by grace and grace alone. There ain't no works involved. You don't have to worry about anything. You're going to heaven. Yeah. Amen. We are going to heaven. We are sealed. That's the deal. But there's works involved if you want to see the eternal reward that God has for us. You want to receive that eternal reward. Ephesians, let's turn to Ephesians 2 here. Ephesians 2, of course we know 8 and 9 is we're saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no works whatsoever needed for your salvation. If you accept the Lord, you're going to heaven. Amen. But verse 10 says what? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has ordained that we should walk in good works. Huh. So that means I need to do some works to please God. Yeah, that's what it means. According to his word. Go up to the mountain, bring some wood, build the house. So, look at this same chapter, verse 19, Ephesians 2. We're building the eternal house. We build this house, Ephesians 2, 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. There's building the house. Building the spiritual house. The eternal spiritual house that God wants us to build. That's our works we need to be doing. The good works. We're building the eternal house of God. And that's mind-boggling when you think about it. That is why we need to be doing good works. Why we need to live unto the Father. Because, you know, once we get saved, that's great. We still got choice, right? Free will choice to do what? Live unto the flesh, live unto the Father. This is why we need to live unto the Father. We're building an eternal house. 1 Corinthians, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and see clearly, more clearly this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting in verse 8 here, familiar passage, judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3, let's start in verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Own reward according to his own labor. Build a house. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You are the house. Build it. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Build a house, but take heed how you're doing it. How you doing it? What doctrine are you living by? What doctrine do you know you're going to have to answer to? We know it's the doctrine that comes from Paul. We know that he was the apostle to the body of Christ. We need to listen to what Paul says. We need to do it. So, take heed how you build thereupon, because you receive own reward according to your own labor. Have nothing else to do with anybody else, does it? Very, very, very real thing to think about this. Like, we get to the judgment seat of Christ, it's you and God. You and God, eye to eye. It's not you and God, your pastor, you and God, your mom and dad, you and God, your church, nobody else. It's you and God. That's a heavy responsibility to think about it. The Word of God is laid out right here for us. Your own reward according to your own labor. Nobody else involved. So, are you building a house that God wants you to build? Very, very important to understand that. Live unto the Father. Don't live unto the flesh. Let's turn back to Haggai now. That is a cool breakdown as we see. Go up to the mountain, bring the wood, build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Amen. You know, if we live unto the Father, He can take pleasure in it, and we can be glorified with Him. Now, let's look at the results. That was the reality of living under the Father. What are the results of living under the Father? Skip to verse 12. It says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent to him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Two things we see from this verse. One is what they do. We got their leader, Zerubbabel. We got their spiritual leader, Jozadak. And we got all the remnant of the people doing what? All the people of God are obeying the voice of the Lord, their God. If you're living under the Father, the results of that is going to be you're going to obey the Word of God. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. See that. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Keep talking about we need to obey what Paul said. This is one verse that verifies among many. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Building that house that God would have us to build. That's the result of living unto the Father. Obey the Word. And here in Philippians, Paul was commanded to obey the Word even in his absence. Obey the Word that he's given him, even in his absence. And we saw from verse 12 another thing. And the people did fear before the Lord. Another result is fearing the Lord. Fearing the Lord. Ephesians 5, let's see an example of that. Ephesians 5, we start in verse 14. Time is short. I say that a lot. We know it's true. We need to number our days. And let's see what this passage says here, starting in verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Christ shall give thee, arise from the dead. Don't be living unto your flesh. It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Amen to that. Need to redeem the time because the days are evil. Stay focused on what God would have us to do. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be just wandering to and fro, around here. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And how do we do that? We got saved. He's 100% inside of us. How do we be filled with the Spirit? You get into His Word. The Spirit will guide us into the truth that we need to see and understand. It says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. One of the results is fear the Lord. In the fear of God, we need to come together on this as a body and understand that. It's like, hey, fear the Lord means redeeming our time, taking God seriously, understanding, trying to understand His Word, being equipped to deal with this crazy evil world we're in. Understanding that and submitting ourselves one to another in fear of God. As a body, we're not here to condemn, we're here to build up, edify, and strengthen. Help us all, help each other to consider our ways. Consider our ways and to build us, help us to build the house that God would have us to build for all of eternity. That is a really neat thought when you think of it, but redeem the time. Back to Haggai. We're going to skip to verse 14. A final result here of living unto the Father. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Spirit stirred them up, all of them again. Leadership and all the remnant stirred them all up, and what did they do? They did the work. They did it. So, we need to go to God, do the work. To build His house. Live unto the Father. Let's look at Titus. Titus 3:8. Go to God, do the work. Still back to, I thought this was a, we're in the dispensation of grace. What are you talking about, do the work? Do the work. Doesn't make any sense. Well, you're not reading the Word. You need to read a little closely here, a little more closely. And that's what it says in Titus 3:8. It says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. There it is again. Maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And what's that? The first good work is building your house, us, building us up, getting to His Word, studying it, understanding it. What applies to us? Being able to get out of the flesh, being able to show others how to get out of the flesh, speaking the truth. The good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And you see those terms, you know, us in our flesh might like good and profitable men. All right, where's the money for me, you know? And now, that's not what God's talking about. He's talking about profitable at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 3. We're almost to close this out. 1 Corinthians 3. Good and profitable unto men. First Corinthians 3, we'll start this time in 13. Remember, maintain good works. Here's 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It's not our salvation getting tried here, is it? It's the work. Be careful to maintain good works that are good and profitable. The work is getting tried here at the judgment seat of Christ. It says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelt in you? Don't you know that? It's a question mark. We are the temple of God. Verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Remember that process we saw in building the house for the Father? If you're not partaking in that process, of building the house from Ephesians 2. And this passage clearly says, if you're not building, then you're destroying. You're suffering loss. So, you need to live unto the Father. So we don't suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. The temple that we're supposed to be building, our spiritual temple, eternal, suffering loss when we're living to the flesh and not unto the Father. Let's don't go there. Let's be careful to maintain good works. Let's understand about considering our ways here. Considering our ways. Am I living unto the flesh? Am I living unto the Father? Let's close it out on back to Haggai. We got to look at verse 13 here to see. You can wrap this all up and sum it up as why do we have the vision verse for us this year, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, benson in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's our vision. Why do we have it? Right here in verse 13, we should be just like Haggai. What was Haggai? Verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. There's Haggai the prophet. The Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message. Why shouldn't we be the same? Preach the word, then in season, out of season. We should be doing the same thing as Haggai. The Lord's messenger and the Lord's message. The only way to accomplish that is not to live unto the flesh, but to live unto the Father and consider our ways. Lord, we just thank you for this day and this word you've given us. Lord, just help us to hopefully learn something from it. Hopefully apply it to our lives, Lord. Your truth is just eternal, and it's unbelievable how many lessons we can see from it, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for that. We do want to bring all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.